This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A glistening 100-megawatt solar field begging to be built? It's photovoltaic modules and balance of system powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean? We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep. Graybar does that.
How we doing on this Friday? Evan and Tiki here on The Fan. If you've missed any of the show, nice little feature we have. You could rewind on the Odyssey app. The TV ratings for last night's USA versus Canada. What was it called again? First four for a face-off?
Four nations.
I already forgot. Four nations. The TV ratings are in, and they are massive. Massive. Last Saturday, when USA played Canada, they got a great rating. They got like 5 million people watching,
yeah,
which was bigger than, I think, 5 out of the 7 Stanley Cup final games. The number for last night is enormous. What's that number, Tiki Barber?
9.3 million.
Jeez.
Americans.
9.3 million Americans.
And 6 million Canadians.
6 million Canadians?
Which is about 15% of the country.
Yeah, yeah.
That's just a big number, man.
To put in perspective how big it is, I spent the last commercial break looking at the history of NHL TV ratings. That number in America, because quite frankly, I don't mean to be jingoistic. I don't care about the TV rating in Canada. I care about the TV rating here in the great old United States of America. That is a bigger number than Game 7 of the Cup Finals last year, and it's bigger than any game I could find going back to 1973. That is insanity!
Right, you know what it's mostly, like, I think exceptionally bigger than? The All-Star Game.
Oh, well, that's even, I mean...
The NHL All-Star Game gets 1.2 million viewers.
Well, yeah,
1.2. So it's 9 times bigger.
The NHL is in this weird spot because this is all great and positive, and it's a huge rating, and I watch the game. I do admit, I feel bad admitting this. I fell asleep in the middle of overtime. I'm so sorry. And there's no reason for me to have fallen asleep because it was very exciting. But, you know, I was into the Knick game. Kudos to Mikal Bridges, by the way. That block at the end of the game against Vukovic to get the overtime. Tremendous play by Mikal. One-on-one deep in the paint. Like, great job out of him. No sarcasm. Did outstanding. But I was watching it. Maybe not as into it as I thought I would be, and I did fall asleep. But the negative, I think, is that the NHL is the one sport where things that are not the normal sport does better than it. Like, people are more into the Olympics, people are more into this than they are the Rangers playing tomorrow night against Buffalo. Now, the diehard Ranger fan, this is not about you. You're right. Into it. The diehard hockey fan is into it, but clearly the casuals came out to watch last night's game, and the problem is they may not come back. Because based on past numbers in the postseason, they're not coming back. So it's a good thing the event was a raging success, but it's also a bad thing that the actual normal NHL could never dream of a number like this.
I know, even in their biggest moment, that is the Stanley Cup. That's what makes it challenging, but it's what we talked about yesterday, and it's why, you know, what my opinion was that this was going to be bigger than the Stanley Cup, because the non-hockey fan is going to watch, and even if you're a fan of hockey and your team is not even represented in this thing, it's your country.
Right.
So, of course, you're going to pay somewhat of a bit of attention to it. And then when it turns out to be a great contest through the first two periods, you have to stick with it.
Yeah. The negative is, and we saw this in the Olympics back in 2010, where the Olympic hockey ratings were through the roof, and there was a hope of, oh, this is going to kind of reignite interest in hockey. It doesn't really work that way. No. It's not like the Rangers-Sabre game is going to get a huge number over the weekend. So it's awesome. It's great for the sport, and they've conquered the all-star demons that every other sport has.
That's exactly what I was getting ready to say, because this is the only sport where you can have an all-star game feel this important.
You're right.
And you can't do it in basketball because they just don't care. And the format's bad. We were trying to speculate. How does basketball do something like this? Like, could they have a Four Nations basketball tournament? Like, the problem is no. You can't field another country's team. There's not enough players.
You'd have almost have an international team. And is there really pride in being Team International versus representing your country?
Probably not as much as it is Team USA versus Team Canada, NHL players, because there's so many of them. Football absolutely can't do this because it's really just an American sport, even though they're infiltrating from other countries as well. But I feel like hockey's figured this out in a way that no other sport can.
Hockey's definitely figured it out like no other sport can. The problem is these events are more popular than their actual sport
That's
and product.
Right.
But what they haven't had before that they're going to have going for them is that we get right into the Olympics next year now. So,
let me get this straight. So there it is, Four Nations face-off,
right?
Olympics,
yeah.
And then they go back to an all-star game?
I got to look at the exact what they're going to do the 2 years, but they're going to start this World Cup of Hockey. So I don't know if that's always going to replace the All-Star game. That I don't know confidently. But what I'm saying is usually when the Olympics, you mentioned 2010, if you get casual people in, they may not jump back in for another 4 years, and that's how you don't build on it. So even if they don't come for the playoffs this year, they're aware of who Connor McDavid and Jordan Binnington is. They will be back into the Olympics next year. Now you're talking about a casual audience jumping in back-to-back years. That's important for the sport.
888-808-1019. Let's go to Jamie in East Brunswick. How are you, Jamie?
What's up, Evan? Good afternoon, gentlemen. Doing well professionally and in personal life.
Most certainly. Thank you, Jamie.
Thank you, man. What's up?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Evan, once a year I agree with you and it hurts my soul. It really does. The last time I agreed with you, as a matter of fact, was about we got cut off. And I was talking about how, and agreeing with you, how the Yankees are going to hate losing Juan Soto if they lose Juan Soto. And I don't care if you're a real Yankee fan, you hate it with everything and your passion still. And the fact that you brought that up today about the batting order is brilliant. I was saying it last year. The Yankees should have had Juan Soto batting behind Aaron Judge. If they haven't batting behind Aaron Judge, especially when you get to the playoffs, when you have these greater pitches, they're going to pitch the Judge a lot easier for Judge to hit than what they did to him because he's batting behind Soto.
Yeah.
That's just the bottom line. So if you put Alonso in front of Juan Soto, it's a given.
But the problem is, Jamie, and I'm glad you agree with me, the manager not only disagreed with me, he responded with, nope. Like, you talk about a shutdown.
Right. Well, you can do that when you have Juan Soto because he's guaranteed to be the same. He's always consistent. Even regular season, postseason, Hell, in spring training, he's probably going to hit, have an OPS of over 1,000. It's just who he is.
I think with Soto last year, and I hate to get back into the last year arguments, but he is a Yankee fan. I respect that. During the regular season, I liked Juan Soto batting ahead of Aaron Judge. The moment it needed to change was the postseason.
Yeah.
When Aaron was struggling again, because I think it would have benefited Aaron, to the point Jamie made, of him getting more pitches to hit with the protection of Juan Soto. And we even saw it in the postseason that Soto was so locked in and Judge was struggling that they were pitching around Juan Soto to get to Aaron Judge.
Like, intentionally walking him, even with runners in scoring position.
We saw that.
You saw it happen. And so... But this is what I was getting at with Aaron Boone. He just kept it the same. He didn't try to help his star player. I know he's a star player, and I know he's supposed to figure it out. But sometimes you got to help your guy be great. That's what great coaches do. They help great players be great all the time.
Mike is calling from Rochester. Good afternoon, Mike.
Good afternoon, Evan and Tiki. Thank you for taking on my call.
What's up, man?
And Tiki, I love you, but I have to respectfully disagree about your opinion about the Yankees being a better team than the Dodgers.
Mm-hmm.
I actually think among the three teams that the Dodgers played last year in the playoffs, the Yankees were the weakest. To me,
no, they played the
real
weakest.
World Series, the Dodgers, what's that?
They played the weakest for sure.
Yes, I think, but I actually think they were the weakest. I think the strongest team the Dodgers played was the San Diego Padres. And if you ask the Dodger players, they'll tell you that the real World Series to them was playing the Padres in the division series in a best of five.
Well, you're right, only because the Padres ultimately put more fear of God into the Dodgers than any other team.
Well,
because they almost beat them.
And they're also familiar with them. So it's a little bit different. But my point is, the Dodgers had two bullpenning games against the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
The Yankees lost those games, right? So it's they hit as many home runs as they actually hit more home runs than the Dodgers did in the World Series. They had, I think, just about the same amount of runs scored. The problem is they didn't pitch well, right? Luis Gil, who was Rookie of the Year and had his moment, he only started one game and he gave up, what, five runs in four innings or whatever heck it was. Clark Schmidt didn't pitch well. Carlos Rodon didn't pitch well. But... Juan Soto was fantastic. Aaron Judge should have been fantastic. Stanton was the ALCS MVP. Like, all of these things tell you that the Yankees should have performed better. They didn't.
They should have performed better. Ultimately, I think the Dodgers were the better team. Mm. And that's where I run into that wall with the Yankees, where every time they've been eliminated in the postseason, and in my opinion, they've been eliminated by a team that's better than them.
Look, you're probably right, because obviously you got to give credit to the Dodgers, and I do. But I feel like the Yankees grossly underperformed.
They did. Oh, no, you're
right. Grossly underperformed.
They underperformed with some of the defensive mistakes they made. And I'll simplify it to a level that I know is not fair, but I'll do it anyway because it helps prove my point. When the Yankees have had a home field advantage in the postseason, in the Aaron Boone era, they're undefeated. They have never lost a series in which they had home field advantage.
Right.
Not one time. When they have been the team without home field advantage, they've won a few of them, but they've lost. Those are the series that they've lost, whether it's the World Series against the Dodgers, the Astros in 22, the Red Sox in 21, the Rays in 20, the Astros in 19, the Red Sox in 18. Every time they lost a postseason series in the Aaron Boone era, it's been in a series in which they were the underdogs having to go and win on the road. When they've had home field advantage, they're undefeated. I brought this up late last year as to why I thought home field advantage mattered.
Mm-hmm.
That the Yankees have proven in the Boone era, if they have home field advantage, they're going to beat you.
Right.
They're undefeated in that situation.